Welcome to Paranormal Almanac. With your host, Kurt Sandvig. That's right, I'm your host, Kurt Sandvig, and on this week's edition of Paranormal Almanac, let's talk about the Parapod Festival and the ghost town of Mentryville. But first, as always, we have shout-outs. I'm going to mix up the shout-outs this time because I was told that people are predicting the names. Can't have that, so I'm going to mix it up a little bit. Shout-outs going out to Zozo the Demon, Zuzus, Will, What's It, Voidtech, Virginia, Vicky, oh, there's two Vickys, Vicky Koblenz and Vicky Parker, I believe. Veronica, Vanessa, Trudy, Tracy, Tracy Simonic and Tracy Bellinger. Tortuga, Tony, Todd, Jamie, and Elijah Hendrickson. Tim, Steven, Stacy Schmidt, Stacy Farr. Hold on. Yes, we're good. Stacy Schmidt and Stacy Farr. Sherry, Seth, Scott, Sandy, Russell, Robin, Ricardo, Rebecca, Paula, Paul, Paige, Nico, Sharon the Mouse, thank you again. Nanashi, Wolf, Mike from Jersey, how's it going, Mike? Menace the Beast, Melody, Mark, Marisol Manning, Lori, Libido Works, Lindsay Hahn, Liam, Lawrence, the Lauren Strawn, hey, howdy, hi. Lauren, Laura, Cobalt Slayer 42, Carrie, Kenneth Hunter, Kelly Joe, Kausch, Joe, Jerry, Jennifer, Jen, Jeff T, Jay Bizzle, Jason, Jane Ann, Jade, J Mark, Isabel. Ooh, there's two of those. Isabel, Piena Venegas. I'm so butchering that. I apologize. And Isabel Sherritt. Probably got that one wrong too. Ian, Roger, Heather, Hayden, Hannah Boo, Glacier Main, George, Gamer Fan, Esteban, Elizabeth, Dorian, Dan Crow, Clay, Cindy, ooh, two Cindys, Cindy Tyler and Cindy Fallness, Chuck, Carolyn, Buzz, Bob, Bentman, 666, Becca, Jake, and the Beasties, Autumn, Tucker, Audra, Ashley, Art Muffin, April, Ann, Andy, Andrew, Andrea, Amber, Alicia, yeah, that's right, and Alexandra, with two special shout-outs going out to Joe Teague and a Stitch. I gotta admit, mixing up the names kind of threw me. There is a rhythm. I didn't realize that there's such a rhythm with, you know, just reading out the names as it is on Patreon, but head on over to patreon.com/paranormalalmanac. I'm going to tell you, patrons, coming up, there's going to be an exclusive episode that I'm very, very excited about that I'm going to tease for the rest of the people, but it's going to be only for the patrons. I'm very excited about that. Head on over to tpublic.com/stores/paranormal-almanac. That's tpublic.com/stores/paranormal-almanac for all your Paranormal Almanac merchandise needs. Before I really get into the paranormal news or any of that fun stuff, I do want to thank the patrons that came out to both Parapod Festival and to Mentryville. I'll be talking about that in a little bit, but they were rocking their Paranormal Almanac merch to the point where Parapod Festival people were like, whoa, that's a cool shirt. Where'd you get that? Or what's that shirt about? So they were representing Paranormal Almanac. If you want to represent Paranormal Almanac, the best way to do it is either be a patron or buy some merch with the address I just told you. All righty, let's get right into paranormal news because there's a ton of paranormal news this week. It's going to be a good one. So let's get right on into it.
Ghosts and demons that haunt the night. Strange objects fly through the sky. Shadow people are spending the night. Children knock on my door. A portal to hell opens in my room. Time travel man says the world is changing soon.
Don't fucking shoot Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Paranormal.
I like that girl that says paranormal. I keep forgetting to rewind that or play it backwards and see what it says at the end. But you know what? I'm just going to say it's cool as shit and I don't care. The first story in paranormal news, UFO spotted flying near Russian nuclear plant spooks local authorities. An unidentified flying object was located near a nuclear plant close to Russia's second city of St. Petersburg, according to news reports. An alert signal was sounded around the Leningrad nuclear power plant in the Russian town of Sosnovyi Bor. I got that wrong, I guarantee. Local and state police media reported on Wednesday the object was moving at around 200 kilometers per hour, that's 124 miles per hour, at an altitude of approximately 10,000 meters. Figure that out for yourself with the math, Russian sources reported. The alert triggered a special response status. Let's see. So far, there's nothing unusual here. It's just a regular situation. It is possible that this is a weather balloon, which could, of course, be Russian or foreign origin, but Russian authorities have not yet provided an explanation for the unidentified flying object. I'm going to be talking about it in a little bit. When I talk about Ben Hansen's amazing presentation and then chatting with Ben Hansen afterwards. But because I mentioned to him about the American nuclear plants and not nuclear plants, but the ICBM nuclear missile sites that had. UFOs shut them down. And of course, he knew all about it, but we had a great conversation about it. But that's why I wanted to add this one, because there is something about UFOs being in and around not just nuclear plants, but also ICBM missile silos. It's very interesting. Anyhow, next story in paranormal news, lawmakers call for more funding of Pentagon UFO office following Biden budget request. This is good news. I don't care where you land on the political spectrum. More funding for a UFO office is always going to be a good thing. Whether they ever give us the actual information or not, that's to be seen, but fund it at least. Let's see. Members of Congress have called for an increase in funding for the Pentagrams. Yes, it's the Pentagrams Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Research Office after the Biden administration budget request was released. That's about all you really need to go into on that one. I'm going to skip it because there's a lot of news to get to, but again, give them the funding. Whether the news ever gets to us or not, and I think it eventually will, at least give them the funding to figure out what the crap it is. If they ever want to release it to us and declassify it, that's another topic. Alrighty, up next, UFO or artificial world? Netizens going crazy over a viral video of a strange light source in the sky. So I've been wanting to watch this one. I haven't watched it because, as you know, if there's a video for a news story, I don't watch it until we're live on the air, or I'm live on the air. I don't know where you are. Let's see. Wow. Terrifying on Twitter has posted an unusual video of a strange light in the sky. When you zoom in on the light source, it appears to be a space station. That is unlikely because space stations are well outside the Earth's atmosphere and are not visible to the naked eyes. All righty. I want to watch this freaking thing. The video just says, what is this? So let's see. Terrible music. All right, getting rid of that crap. I wouldn't say it's a space station. I don't know what it is. Will you zoom in again? Come on, idiot. Thank you. I don't know what it is. There is something up in the sky. It has multiple lights on it. Seems to be the only light source in the sky. Is it a reflection in the clouds? Very possible, but this one I don't know. I'll throw it on the Facebook fan page, let you know what you are, find out what you guys think of it, but because I don't know. Yeah, all right, it's a UFO because I don't know what it is. All righty, up next in paranormal news, let's push on through. The UFO documentary, Accidental Truth, makes strongest case yet for crash retrievals and vehicles of non-human origin. Now, this was actually brought up at the Parapod Festival. And it sounds like it's going to be a great movie. I have not seen it yet. It's a UFO documentary called Accidental Truth. Let's see. I want to get to the good stuff about it. Ah, here we go. Here is the trailer for Accidental Truth.
UFO reality can no longer be denied.
Why is that all weird?
In 2017, the New York Times broke
Okay. Wow. YouTube is all kinds of weird. The crap is that about?
Page story about a shadowy.
Interesting. Well, I can't play you the trailer. I don't know what's causing that. Let me see if it's everything on YouTube, because there are other videos that I want to play for you in a minute, and it might be just me. So let's go to... I just need a video that's not going to get me busted immediately by, you know, YouTube censors. Hello, play YouTube. What's going on here?
Good news. No matter what you choose, you save.
All right. No, it's fine. So there's just something wrong with that Accidental Truth. All right. Let me see if I can find another copy of Accidental Truth's trailer for you. Let's try this one. There we go.
UFO reality can no longer be denied. In 2017, the New York Times broke a front page story about a shadowy government program.
Pentagon had this secret UFO monitoring agency, which nobody knew about.
Don't ask me, because I'm not going to tell you.
Instead of answers, we've been given a new narrative. The UAPs are not ours or any foreign governments.
Then the question is, whose are they?
You can ask the questions, but who are you going to ask them of? And you've got to make sure you're asking the right people.
There are many things that are out there in the ether that aren't officially brought to our attention.
So how would it have to be officially brought to your attention? I'm bringing it to your attention. Sure.
Do you expect to see real answers in this report?
Honestly, I don't think so, Jake.
A memorable quote in that is, technology not of this earth, not made by man.
That's a profound moment.
So have you studied classified materials, but you just don't have them?
I just shouldn't say anything more.
Individuals at the Pentagon confirmed the Roswell spacecraft is real.
It's just a complete cover-up.
Some phenomena point to an interaction with consciousness.
Maybe the physical evolved from consciousness.
Life may exist in all sorts of forms. The question is, what's our definition of life?
Again, absolutely looks like a brilliant movie. I'd have to find it. In fact, that's what my plan is for later today, is to watch that movie. So don't be surprised if next week's episode I talk a little bit about that. Alrighty, up next in paranormal news, video allegedly shows dead alien found in a Bolivian village after a UFO landing. Villagers in Bolivia claim they witnessed a UFO landing and several miniature aliens running around before one of them died and then vanished. The alleged video was taken in the rural village of... Huarina, in the La Paz region of Bolivia. Two nights before the dead alien was found in the gutter, residents filmed an eerie green light in the sky that they believed was an alien spacecraft. They claimed that they then witnessed numerous figures running around the dark streets. Villagers said that the aliens they saw were very small and compared them to goblins. They were miniature creatures, like those little people who appear to children, said local resident Rita Marquez. UFO expert Juan Carlos Aliaga is also involved in the investigation, and he said he got involved after they sent me photos of what it was, this being curled up. Alrighty. I've been waiting to watch this video. I can't wait to see what this one's like. Oh, no, but it's a Verizon ad. That's what it's like. It's like a Verizon ad, and as you know, no free ads on my podcast. Verizon, it doesn't work where Kurt lives. There's your free ad. Make it better, Verizon. All righty, here we go.
Bueno, y hay conmoción en un barrio donde los vecinos juran haber hallado el cadáver de un extraterrestre. Bueno, la noticia corrió como la pólvora y un investigador del fenómeno OVNI llegó hasta el lugar. Y lo que dijo dejó a todos con la boca abierta.
Into this.
Vamos a dejar que Bernabé López nos cuente más desde Bolivia.
Okay, here we go.
Esta imagen parece de otro mundo.
I'm already pausing. Hold on. Gotta pause. Stop. All right, so it is a gutter. I'm definitely putting this on the paranormal fan page. It's a gutter, and in front of the gutter looks like a gray stuffed animal, like when your dog plays with a toy for a while and half the stuffing comes out, so it's just kind of like flops around. It looks like that. All right, let me hit play again.
Encontraron el cadáver de lo que aseguran es una criatura nunca antes vista.
Oh, it's totally a stuffed animal alien with the stuffing on it.
En esta calle y sin vida estaba lo que parece ser el cuerpo con extremidades humanoides de un ser extraño. Por eso pensaron había que enviarlo a un experto.
Él me mandó fotos.
de lo que está este ser que está ahí como acurrucado, pero son huesitos que están ahí. Y entonces me dice que los pobladores saben de esto.
Es que días antes, los habitantes lograron grabar supuestas naves en la noche y vieron pequeñas sombras en sus calles que comparan con duendes.
There's a green circle in the sky, and this guy is showing that how he filmed it was up over the hills. And apparently, oh, this is the Rita Marquez. It said she saw it and it looked like little goblins.
Lo extraño del caso y un misterio sin resolver es que el cuerpo del supuesto alien desapareció.
All right, I'm done. So I'll post that on the Facebook fan page as well. But that is 100% an alien, a gray alien stuffed animal with the stuffing taken out of it. And I bet that if I looked online enough, I could find that exact stuffed animal. Gray alien stuffed animal. I'm going to Google image search it, and I pretty much think I found it right away. Yeah. Yeah, I found it. It's called Blend. It's from Blend Swap. Fluffy plush alien. The fluffy plush alien on Google image search is the exact same as the alien in that. Well, not exact. It's pretty damn close, though. The eyes are a little bit different. But there's like 50 different gray alien stuffed animals. Oh, yeah, there we go. There's another, they're called punk aliens. They got the same eyes and the same gray color. There is a ton of them that match. This UFO plushie matches it almost identical. I guarantee you that if I let Rum play around with one of these stuffed animals for a week and then threw it in the gutter, it would look identical to that. So I'm going to say BS, and also I'm going to say that within like 2 minutes of just Google image searching, I could find comparable quote-unquote aliens. All right, let me throw that up on the Facebook fan page while I'm thinking of it, because I want to make sure you guys see this one. Real alien, dot, 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 or stuffed animal in a gutter. And there we go. So you can head on over to the Facebook fan page, Paranormal Almanac fan page, and you'll see it right there. But you can also just imagine what it's like to have a stuffed animal given to a dog, and then the dog pull out the stuffing, and then you throw it in the gutter. It's the same thing. Alrighty, up next in paranormal news, report shows highest reported Bigfoot sightings in the U.S. per 100,000 people. I love these reports. I love it when they come out, and it's finally out for this year. Let's see, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, or Gigantopithecus, to some, has been part of a numerous reported sightings over the years. A report put together shows the ratios per 100,000 people of reported sightings across the U.S. It's part from the Bigfoot Field Research Organization, BIFRO. Let's see, the hot spots for the sightings in the Northwest, according to the study, is Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming all have significant sightings per 100,000 people. It even goes into the counties as well. Let's see. I want to see where California lies. There we go. So, oh, yeah, like, yeah, the Washington is like 9.12, Oregon 6.06, California only 1.18. The Michigan, 2.24. Go Michigan. And then the hell state is that? West Virginia, 5.97. They don't have the names on the states, and I haven't thought about most of these little mini states in a long, long time. Texas, 0.85. What's that? Kansas? Louisiana? Pretty low. Yeah, the middle of the country, though, is really popping, including, like, Illinois. Like, everything right around Illinois is really popping up. And then, obviously, in the Northwest, the Utahs, the Wyomings, all of those have significant sightings. Idaho, Montana, all significant sightings. So, for people that are saying, how come there's no more Bigfoot sightings since people got cell phones? Well, there are. There's a lot of them. Actually, I think that one's kind of cool, too. I'm going to throw that up on the Facebook fan page, too, because I love stats. There you go. That's up there as well. Take a look, see where your state lies, and find Bigfoot. But, as always, don't fucking shoot Bigfoot. Come on, guys. Alrighty, up next in paranormal news, Bigfoot's on the loose again. Allerton announces an overnight hunt. Whether you think Bigfoot is real or myth, you can now hunt for him once again at Allerton Park and Retreat Center on April 28th. Illinois has 302 Bigfoot sightings on record. Now Allerton, Illinois is asking for your help to see if you can help track down Bigfoot. So even though they call it a hunt, don't fucking shoot Bigfoot. Just find them. Let's see. This is the second hunt for Bigfoot. Officials said guests can check in on their discounted rooms anytime after 3 p.m. on April 28th. When you show your hotel room key at the check-in stand, you'll receive a map. Then you can grab your flashlights and headlamps and get ready to find Bigfoot. What? Are these real Bigfoot? How are they going to show you on a map where these are real Bigfoot? This news story doesn't tell me enough. It goes on to say the Diggity Dogs food truck will be available from 6 to 9 p.m. A cash bar will be there. May even have some beverages with Bigfoot back at the mansion after the hunt. What is happening? Is this a real Bigfoot or is this like some guy dressed in a costume? In which case, don't shoot that guy either because that seems like a bad idea to me, but what do I know? And with that, let me move on because there's a lot of news up next in paranormal news. This is one a couple of paramaniacs, including Andrew, sent to me. Famous Bigfoot footage stabilized using AI, making it pretty clear what it was. Bigfoot's been spotted hundreds of times, blah, blah, blah. The film that made Bigfoot a star, the Roger Patterson, Robert Gimlin film. Now, experts have used AI and computer vision to stabilize viral footage of the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot film from 1967. I'm very excited to watch this. I've not watched it yet. It is neat to see it stabilized, I will say. I don't know why it's pausing. There he goes. It is really neat to see it stabilized. It's much better. But you think they could clean it up even more than that. When's someone going to HD this thing, man? Let's see. It said it's pretty clear. What is the pretty clear? Oh, they think it's a guy in an ape-like costume. Well, guess what? It's been debated for a very long time, and they've yet to find a costume that even remotely looks like that. Alrighty, up next in paranormal news. U.S. has real UFO problem, and it's not Chinese spy balloons, says former Navy fighter pilot. Now, this one was released yesterday, April 7th. A former U.S. Navy pilot is told how his squadron encountered UFOs almost daily for months while training off the American coast. The sightings included a near collision with the object that appeared like a cube inside a sphere and a close encounter with a fleet of objects moving at 120 knots into the wind. I'm going to read that again to make sure that you got that clear because my voice was kind of breaking up there. They had a close encounter with a fleet of objects moving at 120 knots into the wind. These are not balloons that people are like, oh, it's a Batman balloon. It was floating away in the wind, and that's what you see. No, no. 120 knots into the wind. Lieutenant Ryan Graves, an FAA-18 Super Hornet pilot, is now leading an effort to encourage reportings of sightings and advocating for scientific study, what the military calls unidentified aerial phenomena. Last year, Congress held its first hearing. We all know this part. Let's see. Lieutenant Graves told the Telegraph how in 2014, his squadron, the VFA-11 Red Rippers, was based on the USS Theodore Roosevelt, a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, preparing for deployment to the Persian Gulf. The pilots trained in a sealed-off block of airspace called W-72 off the coast of Virginia, where nothing else was allowed to fly. After the pilots' radar was upgraded, pilots began picking up objects in the training area. They initially dismissed them as radar errors, but then they flew closer and started seeing them on their FLIR systems. Pardon me. On their FLIR systems, which you all know what FLIR are. It was almost as if the sun was shining a flashlight on the UAPs. We could have them on our radar, and then we'd see them on FLIR. We'd fly them as low as we could to trying to see what they were. We were trying to figure out what the heck these things were. We were seeing them pretty much daily. We would go out there, and they'd be out there in the morning. They'd be out there in the evening. These things were pretty much always out there. They would range from 1 to 2 to 3 of them to 6 to 7 of them. Then the near collision happened when an object passed right between two jets within 50 feet of the lead aircraft. Lieutenant Graves said the pilot involved was shaken up after landing back at the carrier. He said, I almost hit one of the damn things. We all knew what he was talking about. It was completely stationary, and he described it as dark gray or black cube inside of a clear sphere. He canceled the flight, not trusting his ability to clear his airspace in front of him. Let's see. Then in 2015, it was a unique object we recorded on one particular night only. One aircraft from my squadron, they were returning to the boat. They were east of the ship, about 3 or 4 miles off the shore. That's when they saw the gimbal. Ah, this is the gimbal video. So he's actually talking about the gimbal video as well. So look, these guys know what they're talking about. These are experienced pilots. They'll know a balloon or a bird or something just floating in the air. That is not what these are. Alrighty, up next in the this better not be a stick category of paranormal news, because I haven't watched it yet. Loch Ness Monster, not a monster, spotted in the Hudson River again. This one's from April 6th, 2023, so just a couple of days ago. Many people gathered for the waterfront in Poughkeepsie on Wednesday, commenting on a Loch Ness Monster sighting in the Hudson River. A large tree. Fuck you! It's a large tree, which means it's not, and it's a terrible headline, and I'm moving on. Alrighty, up next in paranormal news. Latest Loch Ness Monster, not a monster, sighting leaves experts blown away. Let's see, scientists claim to have debunked the theory that it's just a giant eel, but what is it? Let's see, go away, bro, Bible. I'm trying to read your article. Here we go. Moving wake in the middle of Loch Ness at 20:30:48 timestamp, moving from left to right. Once again, Ian O'Fadigan, there you go. The wake is really unappreciated when rotating webcams stop to the left for a short pause. Clearly, it is not a bird wake with the V in the water, just a single line like something is touching the surface from underneath the water. On the next sweep of the webcam, the wake was gone. He said he was blown away. The length of the visible wake is in excess of 20 feet, and the creature responsible must be very large underneath the water. Hell yeah, you go, Ian. Gotta get him on the show. Alrighty, up next in paranormal news. Actually, the last story in paranormal news. I'm going to skip the rest of them. I'm going to get to the actual topic at hand. Does a strange video show the Loch Ness Monster? Not a monster. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's the same video. It's just a different story, but the same video. So you know what? That's fine. You guys can watch that video on your own. Good job, Ian O'Fadigan. Alrighty, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Parapod Festival recap and Mentryville. We are back. I am so excited to tell you about the weekend that I had, that I just had. It was a fantastic weekend. Lots to be talked about, lots to be had. There's probably going to be a part two to this because there was a person that was at Mentryville for some of the stuff that I'm about to tell you about. And she had her own experiences. She seems to be very intuitive or sensitive to it because, man, that the paranormal was loving her. So I want to get her on the show. She said she'd do it, but it's, you know, where people are busy. So whenever she gets a chance, I'm going to do a follow-up. But I do want to tell you all about Mentryville. I'm going to give you a quick, brief backstory of Mentryville. Mentryville was built or started, whatever you want to call it, by Charles Mentry. It's just south of basically Six Flags in Valencia. And you just kind of start driving off onto the road, Pico Canyon Boulevard. You start driving on Pico, going west. You start passing all these houses, and then you realize, oh, well, I'm kind of out in the middle of nowhere, really. The road branches off to the left, and you end up at Mentryville. And what's left there is actually, it's kind of cool. So you park in, like, the visitor parking lot. Normally, the buildings are locked. There's a schoolhouse, an 1800 schoolhouse, late 1800 schoolhouse. There is, they call it the cottage, but it's a like 13-bedroom house, mansion kind of thing, especially for back then, early 1900s house. That's still there. There is the barn. That's still there. And then there is a set that they built around some sheds, and they built it for the return to Green Acres. If you guys remember the show Green Acres. So that's still there. And then there's the worst, absolute worst porta potty you ever want to see. That's still there. So, you know, enjoy that if you really want to. It's horrific. It is like looking into the gates of hell. So anyhow, I was asked pretty early on in the day by the couple of the guys that actually ran the Parapod Festival if I could come up early, because I told them, like, yeah, I can't wait to go up. I was gonna go up in the evening. I was going to bring my ghost hunting equipment because I really wanted to just, you know, kind of walk around and show off my ghost hunting equipment if anybody really wanted to see it. They thought that was a neat idea, and they've been really supportive. Robert and Tony were very cool, like really, really cool guys. I'm really happy how well the Parapod Festival was received and how well they did with the Parapod Festival, because they deserve all the accolades they can get. Fantastic guys. the Parapod Festival, which I'll be talking about in a little in a minute. What a great show. Really was. I was really impressed with it. But anyhow, so they texted me like at 11 o'clock. Luckily, I had taken the day off of the day job, just kind of to prep and, you know, relax and before the Saturday all day kind of event. And he texted me. He's like, hey, can you make it up here with your equipment like during the day? We had a person that had to cancel. They weren't feeling well. I said, yeah, of course. And I quickly ate some lunch. I threw all my stuff in the backpack, and I took off for Mentryville. I got there in about 45 minutes, I think it was. A lot of traffic. But I get there, so I pull up, and there's, you know, some amazing volunteers for the Parapod Festival. They were in there in their little pop-up tent area, and they were like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, no, I'm actually supposed to be here. I'm looking for Robert. And they're like, oh, he's right over there. So I ran over to Robert. And he's like, oh yeah, thanks, man. I'm like, yep, I got my whole gear. I can't wait. This is going to be fun. And he's like, well, you can, you know, choose where you want to set up. You can set up in the schoolhouse or you can set up in the cottage house, the mansion. And I said, oh, well, you know what? I've always wanted to be in the schoolhouse. I know that it's got a lot of activity or can have a lot of activity, but I really want to see the house. And he's like, you know what? There's nobody in the house right now. That's where I'm walking to. I said, can I go in there with you? And I was like, he's like, yeah, of course. I was like, awesome. So he and I both go in there, and there's a park ranger kind of guy that was standing there. And the guy was like, so I said to him, I'm like, hey, you know, I've heard a couple of different things. There's, hey, Robert, there's a couple hot spots that I know of. One of them is by the fireplace and one of them's upstairs. And he's like, oh, well, we can't go upstairs. It's only available at night. We got special permission for tonight only. Can't go during the day. I was like, oh, okay, no worries. I kind of wanted to see it, but totally understand. And as he's saying that, the park ranger, sorry, you guys are fine. All right, and he walks out. And as soon as he walks out, he goes, run upstairs. I'm like, oh, sweet. So I ran upstairs real quick, just for a couple seconds. I didn't want to break their trust or anything. So I ran upstairs real quick, and literally you get to the top of the stairs is the main room. I walk in the main room. I'm about 6 feet from the closet door, and the closet door has no door handle on it. It's like a regular doorknob, but there's no doorknob on it. I'm 6 feet from it. It's just me and him. There's nobody else in here. And the closet door goes, wham, 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 like someone is like pushing against it from the inside. And I was like, holy crap. It's not the wind. It's not because he was walking around downstairs. I don't know what caused it. But I was like, oh, my God, I got to go tell him about this. This is awesome. So I run downstairs, and I tell him, and he's like, crap. He's like, well, we can't go upstairs. I'll check it out later tonight. I was like, yeah, you definitely want to. This is the, and I pointed out where it is in the house. That's cool. I didn't even have any of my, like, I didn't even pull my cell phone out because it happened so quickly the second I got in there. And I was like, oh, this place is going to be great. So I start walking over to the schoolhouse. I'm like, you know what? I want to get set up in the schoolhouse. Now, I was told that there's an upstairs to the schoolhouse that you can get into. I don't know how the hell you get up there because I don't see any stairways. I don't see any evidence that there's an upstairs, but I've been told that there's an upstairs. It's kind of spooky. My guess is that that's someone misremembering Mentryville because there's an upstairs to the barn that is very spooky, and I have a feeling it was there. But anyhow, so I go into the schoolhouse. And the first group of like 10 or 15 people had just started walking over to the main house. So I just set up. It was just me in an 1800 schoolhouse. Now, let me make sure that this is very clear, and you'll see why in a minute. There is no electricity in the schoolhouse. None. There were no lights. There was no outlets. There was nothing. There was no electricity when I walked in there. So I walked through. And I'll post up the quick videos that I took. I only took a couple of quick videos. I wanted to do more, but it got, well, I don't want to spoil it. I'll tell you why in a little bit. So I didn't take that many videos. I'll post a couple of videos that I do have up that show what the schoolhouse looks like. It's very little house on the prairie. It's just an open schoolhouse room. They have two small, like old school 1800 school desks, like in the middle of the room next to each other. And then right in front of them, kind of in between them, is a tiny little, like, cooking stove kind of thing where you throw, like, coal or wood in there and it would heat up the room, that kind of a thing. And then there's the main desk, like the teacher's desk, and a chair, and, like, a little bookshelf. So there's not a lot in there at all. And, as you know, there's you know, blackboards and stuff, but it's an old schoolhouse. There's nothing in there. So what I did was I have this light up ball. They're really cheap. They're called cat balls. This one's a dog ball. It's for rum. It's a little rubber ball. When it rolls, the LEDs go off and it kind of lights up. So I put that in a corner. Clearly there's a scratch on the ground. So I put that in the corner. Boom, done. Then I took out my REM pod. I set up my REM pod, put a brand new battery in there, and I set it on top of the stove in the basically in the very dead center of the schoolhouse. Then I have these little things. They're a little black plastic box with a blue LED on it, and then this tiny little copper antenna. It's kind of like a REM pod, whereas if you touch the antenna, the light bulb will glow. And you have to touch the antenna to get the light bulb to glow, the little LED bulb to light up. So I put one of them on the bookshelf, and then I put one of them over on this one of the kids' school desks. So I had a couple of things, you know, kind of set up. And then later in the day, I actually put up my laser grid, and I also took out my FLIR for my my cell phone. And I'm going to post a couple of those photos, too, just so you have an idea what they look like. So I'm just kind of hanging out in there. REM pod's not doing anything. None of the stuff's doing anything. Oh, and I had my little I had two EMF detectors. I put one on the other school kid desk and one on the teacher's desk. Nothing's going off. It's dead quiet, dead silent. Absolutely nothing's going off. And I'm like, crap, this is going to be a boring day for me and for the people like coming to check it out, because nothing, like it's a dead zone. You know, there's nothing going on paranormal. And I'm like, whatever, I can show. What I'll do is when people come in, I'll tell them, you know, about all of my gear and what I, you know, what I get it and where I get it and why I chose the ones I got. That's what I'll do, you know, that kind of a thing. So the first group comes in, it's like maybe 10, 15 people. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'm Kurt, Paranormal Almanac. Here's all, you know, the gear. You know, take a look around. If you have questions, let me know. And we're kind of just talking about paranormal stuff, you know, like, you know, who I am and why I'm there and, you know, what are the some of the stories that I heard about this schoolhouse? And some of the stories that I heard was that the chalk will fall off the little railing underneath the blackboards. So I made sure to notice exactly where the chalk was. And I made sure I took a, you know, film of it. This is exactly where it's at. And then I've been told that little kids have been seen or heard there. And then also I was told from a friend of mine about a personal paranormal experience that they had when they ghost hunted there. About they were sitting around in a circle. They went to get up, and then someone had like the FLIR, and they showed it. And on the ground is a clear handprint, like a hot handprint from the FLIR that's way bigger than the person that was sitting anywhere near it. And they were like, whoa, what the crap? Whose handprint? And they're showing that none of their handprints fit that handprint. So there's activity in the schoolhouse on the rare occasions that they could actually do paranormal experience or paranormal investigations there. And I had it from a very reliable source. So I'm telling them all of this story, and they're like, oh, that's cool, that's neat. And they're kind of just looking around for like 20 minutes or so. And then the REM pod goes, rear. And just to give you an idea how the REM pod works, it's got five lights around, in case you don't know what it is. It looks, it's a little oval device, circular device, like oval device. It's got five LEDs on the top, and then it's got a long antenna that you can extend. And the closer you get to that antenna, the lights will light up, and it'll go from the outer lights all the way up to the inner lights, all the way up to all five of them if you're like actually touching the antenna. And it actually goes the closer you get to the antenna. I could take it out, I suppose. Maybe I'll grab it in a second. but if not, you can always just Google, you know, like YouTube video REM pods. You've seen them on every paranormal show. So the REM pod moved really quickly, but it moved, and we're all like, whoa, what the crap? What was that? And nobody was near it. People were like 6 feet away from it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. There we go. So that's kind of what we want to hear. And if that's the only thing that happens, that's still an unexplainable thing. I can't explain why it would happen. There is no reason for it. Like your cell phone's not going to set off a REM pod. No one was near it. No one was trying to touch it. And then, you know, so everybody was like, ooh, what's going to happen? So they all kind of stopped and they were all talking about it, about the ghost. And we all were referring to it like, I don't know who it is or what it is, but if you want to come near, you can touch the lights. You can go like, you know, doing the same things you hear on every ghost show, hunter show on TV. And nothing. And it was kind of silent. And then, you know, we kind of stopped and we were all just kind of talking about whatever, about the Paranormal Almanac or whatever. And then, and it did it again, this time longer. And we're like, interesting. So it's almost as if when you weren't paying attention to them, to it, to her, you'll find out it's a her in a minute, that they would touch the REM pod again. And so I was really intrigued now, because now I've gotten two. You know, if you get one, that's interesting, but you really can't corroborate it with anything. Now I've got two. Again, we all knew where we were standing. No one was standing anywhere near the REM pod, and it was going off. Then another group came in, and with this group was a wonderful young girl. She was probably about like 9-ish, 10-ish. Her name was Aubrey, and her parents were there. Very cool girl. Like, this girl is going to be a star in the paranormal community if she sticks with it, because she's got it. So she walks in and she tells me that the doll that, because there's like this little blue, I don't know, like Frozen doll or whatever, like Barbie kind of doll that's on the school chair, is she brought it in. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's really smart, because, you know, it's a schoolhouse. There'd be kids. You're a kid. This might help like set off some, you know, paranormal stuff. Like, that's really cool idea. I like it a lot. And as she's saying that, I was like, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull out my FLIR so I can show you guys the FLIR, because I thought they'd get a kick out of that. So I'm showing them. It's just dead cold. It's 59 degrees in here. It's absolutely dead cold and I know you're saying like 59 is not cold, but you know what I mean? It's just cold in there, in the schoolhouse. There's no electricity, no nothing. Sun's not beating down on us. It's kind of cool for the day. And so I'm panning it around, and you could see the humans, the people that were there, the people in the group. And I was showing them, like, this is what a person would look like. Then I noticed there's something behind the REM pod that's glowing hot red. I'm like, well, that's weird. What is that? And it turns out it was the doll that Aubrey brought. And I don't mean it was warm. I mean it was glowing at the same temperature as a human. So I said, oh, well, that's all right. Let me try and debunk that. Did you have the doll in the car all day? Maybe it was just because it was in the hot car. And they're like, no. Plus, you know, it's been out for like 20, 30 minutes. I'm like, all right, interesting. It's a possibility that it's still radiant heat from just, you know, maybe she was holding it real tight on the way there, or you know, cradling it or something. So it's, you know, her body heat. So we'll keep an eye on that. And I just kind of not debunked it, but put it off as that's probably what it's going to end up being. 30 minutes later, the FLIR. The doll is hotter now. An hour later with the FLIR, the doll is still hot. There is no possible way, none, no scientific way. If she microwaved that doll when she first got there and put it there, it would show hot. But after an hour, it would not maintain that radiant heat, that body heat. But it was. And it was about, like, say, 2.5 feet from the REM pod. And while that's going on, the REM pod's just having it good old time. They were touching, like, whatever they were. She, like, you'll hear in a minute, it's a she, was touching the REM pod at random times. And at random spots, too, would go, and then stay on for a good 10, 15, 20, 25 seconds. And then it'll be dead for an hour. Not an hour, but like 20, 30 minutes. While that's happening, another really awesome guest, her name was Brandy, or is Brandy, I don't know why I say was. Her name is Brandy. She's very cool. Her and her friends were kind of like checking out the doll and the FLIR and the REM pod and all that fun stuff. And then she walks by the little blue light. Again, you have to hold the copper antenna to get this little blue LED to light up. As she walks by, it starts to glow a little bit. And she has it on film. I hope she still has it on film. She recorded it with her phone. Again, the phone won't make it go off. And she's like, wow, that's weird. I get like a, you know, it feels cold. I don't want to tell her story too much because I definitely want her on. She's the one that I'm talking about, that I was talking about a minute ago, that hopefully she'll be on an upcoming episode. So I'm going to save her story, but she was there. She had her own experiences and saw and can corroborate the REM pod. Then Aubrey starts to talk. She's like, you know, like I said, she's way into it, way smart, and she's way into the paranormal TV shows. So she starts to talk to the REM pod. And she's like, if you're a girl, if you're a boy, light it up. Because we kind of was, you know, I was kind of telling her, you know, she'd ask it questions, make sure it's specific questions and yes or no questions. One, you know, yes, make the noise. Two, don't go near it. And so she said, are you a boy? Dead silence. Then she said, are you a girl? like someone's playing a theremin, and this thing was just going off and staying on for like, or like going off for like 30 seconds. This REM pod was going off. I'm going to give you a quick, it's only like a 3-second video of the REM pod going off, and I was trying to catch it going off, and it just did it at random time, so I couldn't. But here's a 3-second video of it.
Of course, as soon as it starts recording.
Play it again.
Of course.
All right, at the very beginning, you can hear that the beep from the REM pod.
Of course, as soon as it starts recording.
So it's a real, like I said, it's a 3-second video, but there's a lot of guests that were there that have long 10-minute videos of it, and I said, you know, please, you know, share them so that they're hopefully going to share them on Instagram and I can share them with you guys and I'll play them all. But this doll is lighting up white hot. It's definitely a girl because there was no way that it wasn't a girl. Are you a boy? Nothing. Just dead silence. Are you a girl? Just going crazy. And Aubrey had a great relation with this little girl ghost. While she was doing it, I was doing the FLIR, and the doll is, at the center of the doll, is white hot. Again, what we would look like under a FLIR. I'll post the photos of the doll as well. Absolutely incredible. It kept doing that. It would go silent for 30 minutes. There'd be a group that would come in and nothing. And Aubrey and her family, they went off to go see, you know, the schoolhouse or the main house and the barn and all that stuff. And they would come back in and check every now and then. So it wasn't just when Aubrey was there. It was doing it when other guests were there. Then a whole group would come in and it wouldn't do anything. We would just explain, oh, you just missed it. This is what just happened. And thankfully, a couple of the volunteers that were standing outside the door that kind of guided the guest in, they got to hear it and see it. And it was an all-day thing. Then another group came in. There's a wonderful girl, and I can't remember her name. I feel terrible. Not wonderful woman. She brought in a Raoul Dahl book. And she wanted to read to the ghost. And I was like, yes, please read to her. So at first, you know, so first thing she did, she showed me the book. I did the FLIR. Book is cold, absolutely cold, as well it should be. She lays the book down. She sets the book down next to the REM pod on that little stove kind of thing. And by the way, in case you're wondering, well, it's probably the stove, Kurt. No, no, the stove is just an iron stove. It's cold as it's blue. You can see it on the FLIR. I'll show you the photos. It's blue. There was no heat radiating from the stove. I'm just calling it a stove because that's what it was, would have been back in the day. It's just a big iron block. You know, it's a nightstand for all intents and purposes now. So she lays the book on there, and the book starts glowing white hot just like the doll. There is no possible way a book can glow white hot. It's like not white hot. It's 78 degrees when everything else around it was 59 degrees. But 78 degrees, that's a 20-something degree difference. And again, it stayed that way and even got hotter throughout the day. Everything else was 59 degrees. This thing was glowing at 78 degrees. The doll at that point, let's see, I can even tell you. The doll went from 69 degrees to 74 degrees and kept getting hotter throughout the day to 94 degrees. 94 degrees the doll got. So she starts reading to basically the REM pod. And she finishes the story, and it was a really sweet story that Raoul Dahl wrote about Christmas and, you know, being away from family. And it's kind of sad. And at the end, and it started, the REM pod started going off again. So, make a long story short, it just kept doing it throughout the day. The book kept going hot. Then Aubrey came in, and she's like, you know what? I want to, you know, we're going to go. I don't want to bring, basically, she was afraid of bringing the ghost home with her. And I said, you don't have to worry about that at all. And she's like, well, the guy at the other place told me that I can bring stuff home with me and I have to be careful. And I'm like, no, don't, like, A, don't do that to a little girl. But I was like, nope, you don't have to worry about that at all. And she's like, can you bring out your little thermal camera again? And I'm like, sure. And I, you know, pointed it at the doll. The doll's at 90 whatever degrees. And I was like, yep, still hot. And she's like, can we take it outside? Take it outside the schoolhouse. And I was like, ooh, this girl's smart. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. So we go outside the schoolhouse. People are still just milling about inside. You can hear the REM pod going off every now and then. And so we take it outside. And she's like, do the FLIR again. Do the FLIR again. It's still hot. And I'm like, yeah, it's still hot. And she's like, well, I think what I want to do, her and I and her family kind of talked about it for a minute. We kind of decided what we should do is that Aubrey should go in and say, you know, hey, I'm going now. It's my doll. I'm going to take my doll with me. We'll bring it back some other time. Thank you so much for talking or playing with us or whatever, something to that effect. And I was like, that's brilliant. Definitely we should do that. So she goes in. I follow her. I've got the FLIR on my the entire time. And the doll is at... Oh, I didn't even notice that. Holy crap. I can't wait to share this photo. So the doll is glowing white hot, still red hot, but it's showing at negative 40 degrees on the FLIR. What the crap? That's interesting. But it's still glowing red hot. And so she says all that stuff to the doll or to the ghost. And then she's like, I'm within a minute. I can tell you exactly. So 3:39 to 3:41. So in 2 minutes time, because she's saying this stuff and I've got the FLIR on the doll. Doll is red hot, red hot, red hot, red hot. She says goodbye. The doll goes cold, absolutely cold, glows blue. There is no more heat. Instantly. And it was like people had like chills. They're like, you know, hair on their arms were standing up chills because there is no scientific explanation. I was telling people like, hey, here you go. If you want to be a skeptic, tell me how that is possible on the FLIR. And you might say, oh, maybe the FLIR was malfunctioning. Cool. I also had a laser digital thermometer that was matching the temperatures. So there's two objects that would have to fault, and not only fault, but fault the exact same things. Impossible. So Aubrey and her family, they left, took the doll with them, the nice, cool, not hot radiating heat doll with them. And by that time, it was about 4 o'clock, so it was the end of the day. But I got to meet an awesome paramaniac named Sherry, and we got to hang out. Sherry got to see a lot of the REM pod stuff. So maybe she'll be on the show. I'll have to ask her. That'd be cool to have her on the show to talk about her experiences at Mentryville. I'm going to do that. I'm going to reach out to her. Or Sherry, if you're listening to this, reach out to me. But Sherry's fantastic. We went and got dinner. It was fantastic. And then Sherry, Todd, Jamie, and Elijah Hendrickson, who also witnessed the REM pod going off. They also tried to debunk it as well. They couldn't debunk it. We all went to dinner. Then we came back at 8 o'clock at night for the nighttime patrol of Mentryville. It was a very different crowd. The group that we were in, some of them were smoking pot. Who cares? I don't care. Some of them were drinking beers. Who cares? I don't care. But I'm talking on the actual tour they were drinking. So it was a very different vibe than the groups that were being very respectful to the little girl ghost and all, you know, the paranormal activity that was going on in the schoolhouse. Very different vibe. So we went to the barn, absolutely nothing happened. We went to the house, nothing happened. We went to the schoolhouse, and at this time they had another person, one of Patty Negri's friends was a volunteer in the schoolhouse at that time, and different vibe, and they wrote on the chalkboard and stuff, stuff that I wouldn't have done. They were sitting on the chair. You know, I wouldn't have made the same choices that they were making, and it was completely dead. Before I get too far away from my time at the schoolhouse, I also put out the laser grid, which is just that. It's a laser pointer that splits it up into a grid. You put it at a wall. It's supposed to be like down a hallway. That way, if you see anything pass in front, it's very obvious that something passes in front of it. So I was standing there and I was talking to someone, and there were a couple people kind of leaning in to this little like storage area. And I was watching the laser grid, and all of a sudden myself and another guy noticed that just one dot on the laser grid just kind of shot off like a shooting star up to the top left, which can't happen on the laser grid. It is static. And I was like, whoa. And they were like, what? And I'm like, I tell him what they saw. And he's like, yeah, I saw that too. And the woman I was talking with might've been Brandy actually. She goes, well, you should ask them if they saw anything in there in that little storage cabinet while that happened. I'm like, oh, good question. I'm like, hey, did you guys just see something? They're like, yeah, we just saw something move from the right to the left in the exact same direction as that laser grid laser just shot off. So again, it was a ton of cool stuff when we were in there. But now that I'm an hour into it, I'm going to just say that that's about it for Mentryville. We had a fun time walking through it at night. Ben Hansen did a very cool presentation about stargazing and about UFOs and stuff. So we watched that for a little bit. Very cool guy. I really like him quite a bit. But... with that, that kind of wraps up Mentryville. When you're there, I will say, there is no cell reception. You might get a text or two if you go up the hill, but you're not getting any cell phone reception. So there's a lot of people that are going to say, well, it's got to be from your cell phones or from your cameras or from your blah, blah, blah. Not at all. Not at all. The EMF detectors were dead silent the whole day until Elijah came in with his EMF detector. And then all of a sudden mine made a noise. And we're like, whoa, where did that noise come from? I'm like, was that my EMF detector? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, that's been quiet all day. So even with Elijah and Todd and Jamie, there was stuff going on. It was very cool. I wish they allow people to go in through the schoolhouse anytime you want to go in, but it's closed off. It and the mansion are closed off. They're locked, except for special occasions like Parapod Festival. So I want to thank Parapod Festival for giving me 4 hours plus of some of the best paranormal experiences I've ever seen on a variety of my devices, from the REM pod to the little mini REM pods, if you want to call them that, to the EMF detectors, to my FLIR, I got, and the laser, the laser grid and the digital thermometers, all science will prove the paranormal. I've said it a billion times, and using all of these items properly, I might add, because they're not always used properly on ghost hunting shows. They'll walk around with an EMF detector right next to a transformer at a theater. Oh my God, it's spiking. Well, yeah, it's a transformer. There's a lot of electricity there. But, you know, using them properly, I got some fantastic results. Alrighty, with that, I'm going to say let's go over to the next day. Next day was the Parapod Festival, where I got to meet another amazingly cool paramaniac, Robin. And I got to hang out with her for quite a bit. It was very cool. All right, so the festival itself. Walked in. It was like a miniature alien con. And I mean that in the best way possible. I don't mean it's tiny. It was not worth going to. No, it was like a mini alien con. It was well organized. The panels you could have, you always had your choices of one or two or three panels. You really had to choose. Oh, before I move on really far, Fabian, one of the people that I met at the schoolhouse, fantastic. Marilyn, what a great conversation. I was so glad to meet you as well. Mark as well. There was a bunch of people that I want to say, you know, hi and shout out to. But all right, so the Parapod Festival itself, it was really laid out really well. You had to choose. There was like two or three panels going on at any given time. So you really had to be like, ooh, which one do I really want to see? Just like Alien Con. And some people got frustrated by that. But for me, that's the way to do it. Give people choices. Do you want to see a psychic? Go here. You want to hear about a vampire? Go here. You want to hear about UFOs? Go here. You want to hear about the Barclay Hotel and Hollyweird Paranormal's amazing presentation? Go there. It's fantastic. And that's another shout out I want to do is Tammy as well. But she knows that. She knows I love her. Holly Weird Paranormal. If you haven't listened to her, you guys totally should. She's cool. Very cool. We're going to do something in the future. I can't wait. But so I'm walking around the panel. I was asked to introduce a couple of people, Sheena Metal being one of them, who I'm going to have her on the show. Hopefully I'll be on her show too. She was very nice. I really enjoyed hanging out with her. Everybody from the Parapod Festival, Bonnie and Susan, Tony and Robert, like everybody was way cool there. I cannot thank them enough for what a great panels and presentation and festival. And then I got to meet the, not meet, but to hang out for a minute with the David Omen from the Omen House. He was there. So I got a quick photo with him and got to chat with him for a minute. With Stefan Brigatti and Patty Negri. So that was very, very cool. And then, to give you an idea of some of the panels I went to one panel about with a medium, and she was Ashar Margolis, and she was doing readings for people, and the people in the audience absolutely were in love with her. She got stuff spot on. It was fantastic. And then I went to a variety of panels. Went to Sheena's panel. I went to Patty's panel. Went to Patty's seance, which was really neat to see a seance with that many people and that many spot-on responses. I went to that with the Paramaniac Robin. We had a good time there. Then I went to Ben Hansen's panel. That's one I really want to talk about for a minute. His panel was about, like, disclosure. And would it be a world-ending event? And I'm not going to do it justice. I'm going to tell you that right now. His panel was brilliant. I couldn't wait to share some of the stuff from his panel about Walt Disney with Sean Bishop. And it was just an amazing panel. I want to thank Ben Hansen again for doing such a exhaustively researched presentation, because man, he did not leave any stone unturned as far as I'm concerned. And again, very fantastic guy. I got to see Linda Moulton Howe, which was just a dream come true. Just every panel was just really interesting and really great. And I wanted to see even more. Like I said, you had to choose. And there was many a times where I was like, well, crap, I got to be here because I got to introduce Sheena Metal. But I want to be here because I want to see Linda Moulton Howe. But I also want to be here because I want to see, you know, it was difficult to make the choices is what I'm saying. But absolutely fantastic day walking around, checking out panels. There were psychics and mediums that you could get, you know, they could do tarot card readings and psychic readings and all that fun stuff. And it seemed like it was a very good time. Then pre-award show, because the award show was happening that night. I don't know if you remember this, but Paranormal Almanac was nominated very graciously for 2 of the Parapod Awards. Spoiler, Kurt didn't win, but had a great time anyway. So before the award show, we could go and have like a little reception, like a little red carpet reception. And I asked and they said, yeah, you can have your friend Sean come with you. So like, perfect. So Sean and I walked in there, was at a little restaurant, was really cool, little bar. And I was telling Sean about Ben Hansen's panel. And I said, you know, we should go over and talk to him. Like, I hate to bother people, but you really got to meet this guy, Sean. He's a cool guy. And I really like what he was laying down. So we went over and we started talking to Ben Hansen, and we were talking to him about the Tic Tacs and the gimbals and about Disney. Brought up that Sean was animator for Disney and Ben was really interested in that. And we just had a fantastic conversation. He is the most down to earth guy. If you ever get a chance to see Ben Hansen live, please do so. He's been on a bunch of TV shows, Factor Fiction, a couple other things. He's been on a couple of shows, but if you get a chance to see him live at a presentation or a panel or whatever, I highly recommend it, because this guy's intelligent and he knows what he's talking about. And we were having a great time talking about theories. I was telling him about the episode that I had like forever ago with someone who was actually on one of the aircraft carriers when they were having a UFO experience. And he was like, what? You got to get me in contact with him. I said, well, not right now, but maybe in the future. By the way, there's going to be a sequel to that episode coming up soon. I can't wait for you guys to hear that. And then, you know, so Sean and I were just shooting shit with Ben Hansen. It was fan-freaking-tastic. Finally, we're like, all right, I'm sorry. You know, your food's getting cold. We'll let you get back to eating and drinking there. And he's like, yeah, no, we'll hook up. Give me your card. And, you know, he reached out to me already. He's a fantastic guy. And I said to Sean, I said, you know, there's one person here that we have to talk to. Because it's a bucket list item of mine to talk to Linda Moulton Howe. And if you don't know who she is, I should do an entire episode on Linda Moulton Howe. And I've already reached out to her. I know she's incredibly busy. I don't ever expect her to come back to me as a guest, but, you know, fingers crossed, putting it out into the universe, I really want to talk to Linda Moulton Howe on this show, because it's a dream come true. But if you don't know who she is, she's an investigative journalist, lifelong investigative journalist. She basically broke the story about cattle mutilations and beyond a billion other stories about the UFOs and paranormal and the government, and what are they hiding and everything. Just an absolutely incredible, brilliant woman. And she was there for like the Pioneer Award or the Lifetime Award or something like that. And well-deserved. She's brilliant. So I said, you know what? I'm taking this opportunity. I'm not going to let this opportunity pass to have a chance to talk to Linda Moulton Howe. So I just, you know, walked up to her, tapped her on the shoulder, said, you know, I apologize. I don't mean to interrupt. And she's like, no, what's up? And I said, you know, first of all, big fan, blah, 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 and gushed at her for a minute. And then Sean and I had a good 5, maybe 10 minute conversation, in-depth conversation with Linda Moulton Howe. I didn't want to record it. I didn't want to be that guy. It was just kind of just for us, about cattle mutilations, about UFOs. It's about what the government knows about. It's about disclosure, about what it was like for her, Emmy Award-winning, numerous award-winning investigative journalist, and how tough it must have been for her to break these kinds of stories because of the taboos and everything that's associated with the paranormal and the UFOs. But not only that, being a woman reporter in the 70s and doing it. And it was a phenomenal conversation with Linda Moulton Howe that, like I said, I posted a photo on the Facebook fan page that, you know, I might not have won a Parapod Award yet, But this year, I didn't win a Parapod Award, but I won because I got to have that experience. And Sean and I got to have that experience. And it was, you know, something I'll never forget, because growing up, listening to Art Bell, like, that's one of the main people that really got me into this topic and how brilliant Art Bell is. And Linda Moulton Howe was on there, and I remembered every episode that she was ever on, and it was fantastic. And I got to have that kind of an experience with her. Like I said, fingers crossed, I'll reach out again and again and again. Fingers crossed I can have her on this show and actually do an interview with her. It'd be the best. But anyhow, then from there, we went over to the award show, and the Parapod Festival Awards were fantastic. Parapod Awards, they were fantastic. It was entertaining. It was great. I was nominated. Hollyweird Paranormal was nominated. Ben Hansen was nominated. There was a lot of nominations of some amazing people. Like I said, Linda Moulton Howe won. Patty Negri won. Of course she did. Of course she did. She's fantastic. It was a great, fun night. And it was a long day, but boy, what a fun day that was. So now I know kind of. And I got to thank Sean Bishop before I get any farther in this episode. If I haven't already said thank you to him a million times, I want to thank him again. Thank you, Robin, the Paramaniac, for going to the actual award show. How cool is that? I love the fact. I didn't know that she was there until it was over. And then, you know, she's like, aw. And I'm like, nope, it's fine. I really wasn't bummed I didn't win. I know it sounds cheesy and I know it sounds like BS, but I really was just honored to be nominated, but I'm going to win one. Don't worry. I'm going to be back next year. I cannot wait to do, they're going to do it again. And I can't wait to be more involved with Parapod Festival moving forward. I made some great contacts, some great friends. Like I said, Tony was fantastic, and Bonnie and Susan and Robert, so many great people that I will be 100% more involved in the Parapod Festival next year. My plan is to do a panel, if they'll let me, obviously. But I really want to do a panel next year. I definitely want to go back. If they do it at Mentryville again, I'll do Mentryville again. I had an amazing time there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Basically, it was nice to network and do the kind of stuff that I wanted to do anyway, which was talk about the paranormal with like-minded people. There's going to be some great guests coming up on this show that I met at the Parapod Festival. I want to do a sister show with the Hollyweird Paranormal. Like I said, they're an amazing group of people, amazing show, I should say. And Tammy's just so cool. I've known her for a while. I think I met her. I'm trying to think where I met her. And I think I met her at David Oman's house. If I remember correctly, I met her at David Oman's house. There's a bunch of people that I got in contact with that I want to have on the show, or they want to have me on their show and vice versa. And I can't wait to do either or. So we're going to do that. But it was just a fun weekend. I can't thank everybody that was involved and everybody that came out and every Paramaniac, Todd, Jamie, and Elijah, and Sherry, and Robin, Sean Bishop. It was fantastic. But I also now know what they're looking for. They even said that they had to, it was a, whoever the judges were, they had to listen to each nominee twice, because that's how close these awards were, which is very humbling and very sweet of them to say. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But now I kind of know what they're looking for. Am I going to change up Paranormal Almanac? Not extensively. Maybe a little bit here or there, but I'm still going to have shout outs at the beginning, because the patrons are what make this show possible. And the Paramaniacs are also what make the show possible. I always want to do paranormal news, and I think I do a nice variety of topics, but now I kind of know what I might need to button up a little bit here or there, make this show even better, if you will. So what I've learned from this Parapod Festival was that, a ton of people went to them and said how amazing my little presentation-y thing that I was doing at the schoolhouse and all the experiences that we were having were, which was very sweet. So I know, you know, if I ever did have imposter syndrome, which I really don't, I know what I'm doing. And that's one main thing that I really, really like. Watching other people that you know, like on ghost hunting shows and stuff, watching them do it wrong and then doing it right and getting results was incredible. And very validating for me. So that was the one big thing. And then beyond that, I know that this show is only getting bigger and better, and I can't wait to keep on going. There's no sign of slowing down, so don't have to worry about that. But so that's a bit of a roundup for the Parapod Festival. If you get a chance to go next year, I highly recommend. And don't worry, as soon as I find out when it is and all the details, I'm going to be promoting the hell out of it because these guys deserve it. They put on such a fantastic show. These people deserved it. And then, so that'll be about it. There's some paranormal investigations coming up that I can't wait to do for the show. I don't want to tease too much, but there are a couple coming up. And there's also another festival that I just reached out to not too far away. So hopefully they'll come back to me with yes, and I'll do another one of these things where I go to these festivals and do the paranormal investigations and then give you a wrap-up because it was really an incredible investigation. Like I said, there is no paranormal expert. If anybody says they are, don't listen to them anymore because I talked to a couple people that, which is the only kind of negative thing I'll ever have to say about the Parapod Festival. I talked to a couple people who were like, well, I'm a paranormal expert. And then kind of belittled that they hadn't heard of Paranormal Almanac. And I'm like, well, that's sweet. That's cute. Don't worry. If you haven't heard of me yet, you will. So anyhow, I hope you guys enjoy these things. Like I say, I really like going to them, and I really like recapping them for you guys. It was an incredible experience. Fantastic show. There's some guests that are coming up directly because of this show that I can't wait for you guys to hear. It is going to be a lot of fun. So I guess that about wraps it up for this episode. The next episode will be more of a regular episode, but still some Parapod stuff, I'm sure. But with that, I'm your host, Kurt Samvig. This has been another edition of Paranormal Almanac. Skiff, Fred's X, girl, when it was Nick Caps, get on, kiss, and X, get a skiff.